Blog Talk Radio.
Weird. Panda Radio coming at you on a Wednesday night. Jim and Eddie with you. Eddie, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing fairly good, considering that our Rangers are amidst the slump of extraordinary magnitude. What will we do? What will we do?
And I'm going to give props right off the bat to Mandar for knowing tonight's theme song.
He knows all that rhythm and blues and all that soul music.
Well, that's a TV. That's from Boston Legal.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of my favorite all-time shows. I
know
we need to change tonight. We're in a slump. We need to shake things up. You know, jiggle the lines a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, Mando knows all those groups like Shalimar and all that stuff. So that's why I thought that's where that was coming from.
Well, he was one of the Pips, wasn't he?
I don't know, but he's Jewish, Mandar, and I don't understand why he gets into all this soul music. But hey, I think Jews have a pretty soulful wedding. You know, I've been to his wedding. It was very soulful. What am I talking about? We're in the midst of a racial crisis of epic proportion. People
you want
are ready
Ranger
to
crisis?
Jump off.
We got what? Ranger crisis.
You want Ranger crisis? We got Ranger crisis. What are we going to you people out there are panicking. Relax. My goodness gracious. Holy manoli, cannoli, stromboli, cristomboli, albatoyan. What in the frig is in your brains? Oh. God, Trey Capric, Fire Tortorella. Oh, this team needs Sheldon Surrey. Give me a break. The guy hasn't been playing good hockey since the Plasticine era. I mean, come on. You people are nuts. You're absolutely bonkers.
Not the fine people that listen to this program.
Oh, no. Just these people on the Twitter, the Twitter, the Facebook, all over there. I'm sick of it. Wah, wah, wah.
We got a guy on Blue Shirt Banner, and I love him. He's a lot of fun, but he is just, he's always in the game threads, and he's a good guy, but he is just clamoring for Alex Kovalev 3. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me with this. Yeah.
He's from the Jurassic.
Dig Deep will back me up on that. He's just clamoring for Alex Kovalev Part 3. Because Part 2 wasn't bad enough.
I know. Come on. We don't want to use moving here. I don't want to bring more fossils back. I mean, come on. Let's calm down. Jim, just allow me this few seconds to vent. I got people saying fire Tortorella? I mean, what are you, monkey brains?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he's a Jack Adams candidate.
Right. So you went from Jack Adams to Grizzly Adams or Gomez Adams.
Gomez Adams.
I mean, Uncle Fester Adams. I don't know if that was his last name. Can we get some clarification whether Fester's last name was Adams? Anyway.
Gabrick, you're from French. Canina.
I love people trade him so we can make room for Richard. So he can get here and have nobody set up. I mean,
yeah.
The whole thing all over again. Oh, God. You know what? I think all the Fire Tortorella nonsense is because he dared bench Hank 2 games in a row. So all the Hank supporters, the hungry for a Hankers, you know, the Hank contingent got upset with Torts. Because Torts did make it a little bit personal. Let's, you know, he's making a little bit personal with him and Gabby. But,
Jack Adams.
What?
Mandar just said Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. Jack Adams. Patch Adams.
Brian Adams. Adams. Here we go. Now we're off and running.
So, calm down. I mean, there's cause for concern. But everybody, like I said, and we've throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They were going to slump. They're slumping. They don't give up a lot of goals here, folks. Some of them are getting ramrodded 9-1 every game. They can't score. I mean, that's it. Amongst some other things. I mean, I'll give you the power play. Blows. Mike Sullivan should be fired along just for that. But I'm not, I'm not endorsing him being fired. I'm just saying if there's some culpability, you got to give some to the coaching.
You know what? I think Mr. French just came up with the best one, Don Adams, because every night it seems like the Rangers missed it by that much.
Either that or their power plays under the cone of silence. Silence, here it comes. 2 minutes. So, I don't know what you've got to say. I'm just trying to be the voice of semi-reason in this crisis that we're in. I mean, I don't know how you want to go. You want to talk about the last game and work back. Whatever you want to do, I'm here just as a reactionary mercenary. I'm just going to react.
Well, you know, like I said kind of before the show, you know, I don't even know if it makes sense to recap these last couple of games because, to me, they're all very similar. It's almost the same game every night. Fall behind 1-0, fall behind 2-0, rally back and get a goal in the third period, hit the post a couple of times, and squander every power play opportunity. I mean, it's every night it's a carbon copy. You know, they did play better against Detroit. They did play better against Detroit, like you said. They deserved a better fate.
I thought they played well in that Detroit game. I mean, you know, what they didn't do, it's the first period. The first period is dead. They don't score. It's either 0-0 or 1-0 or 3-0. I mean, they've got to get a lead in this first period, folks. It's frustrating, especially in that Detroit game when Howard was shaky in the first period. They just couldn't capitalize. So, my friend, I got to tell you, I've been trying to figure it out. I don't know what the deal is. Every theory I come up with in my head, I then say, nah, that can't be the problem. You know, I don't know. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I'm surely not going to trade Marion Gaborik. Although Darren Dreger reported it that say there is entertaining offers.
Well, yeah, he said he's listening, which I think I don't think there's anything to that. I don't think there's anything to that. You know, GMs talk all the time. Emil Francis told us that, and you know, I'm sure every player on a roster's name gets mentioned during the course of a year. You know what I mean? So, of course, if somebody calls up and says, hey, I want to make you an offer for Gaborik, Sather will say, go ahead, what do you got? You know?
Yeah, it makes no sense. He's a slumping goal scorer. Is he done? No. I don't think he's done. You know, we know what done looks like. Like, and the guy just went out 4 to 6 weeks on IR there. But Captain Lunesta, we'll get to him in a little while. But, you know, I was trying to come up with why the Rangers are just not winning. I think it's a lot of bad luck. I know you don't want to put it all down to luck, but to go back to that Devils game, they hit the post. My wife just IMs me and tells me that Uncle Fester's name is unofficially listed as both Fester Adams and Fester Frum.
Well, in the movies he was related to Morticia, so he wouldn't have been an Adams, right?
That's right. So getting back to this this game here, this is where I think the Ranger fan anxiety totally went off the charts when they lost to the Devils. Because these games mean so much to us. The Ranger, do I have to be biased? No, I'm unbiased. Oh, I'm totally biased. I'm not unbiased. That, you know, listen, these games hurt when they lose. They get down 3-0, as we mentioned. Henrik gives up that goal early. Oh, we didn't mention that. We mentioned talking about it off the air. And that goal early must have really irked Tortorella, especially with him being the night out before being shown with Justin Bieber and Chris Rock at the Knick game. You know how he is about the, you know, the social calendar and all that.
Yep.
And once it was 3-0, he pulled him, and I think he got. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, going back to that, he said, what was it, before last season? He said Hank's got too much off-ice stuff. And look, I'm not going to fault the guy for going to a basketball game on an off night.
In New York.
But obviously, you know, you read between the lines with Tortorella, which we love to do, and obviously he thinks this guy's that Lundqvist's got too much of a social calendar and he's not focused enough on hockey. And if that's the case, well, then you send a message and you play Marty Biron, who has played very well. I mean, Biron's only had two bad games this year. I mean, this is a long way from the days of Steven Valiquette and Matt Zaba and Chad Johnson. You know, it's nice to know that when Lundqvist hits a lull, which he does every year, and I think most goalies do, it's nice to know that you can still put a guy in there who can win games for you. You know, it is not the, oh my God, if we don't score 5 goals tonight, we're not going to win because this guy's terrible. Biron's been very, very, very solid for them this year.
Right. And I think we all got, they went 1-for-6 on that power, 1-for-6 on the power play that night. I think it got us all wound up. We couldn't beat Marty and the Devils. And, you know, even though we outshot them 27-18, you would think, you know, we would put more pucks in net. And then that ridiculous ending, you know, where the puck hits the post. And, you know, we got freaking, you know, Jolton Joe Micheletti yelling his. That thing is in! I'm pretty sure that thing is in.
I was drinking a Micheletti Kool-Aid. I thought it was in, too.
You were?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was in. Not really based on what he was saying. I thought he was validifying what I saw, because it really did look to me like when it first happened, I thought the puck was in. I thought it had just hit the inside of the post, and I thought it would be a goal, but then when they went back and showed the replay, I said, okay, we're screwed. God hates us again.
So that was such a that was just a frustrating loss, and that got the ball rolling. And we talked about it when we had Rock on the last time, about these three games being really important.
Yeah.
And they lost all three.
Mr. Gloom and Doom.
He's not allowed back
on the show.
he was just looking ahead, and then, you know, he's, you know, and I don't know what's wrong with Marion Gaborik, if anything. I really don't know. I don't know, you know, why he doesn't look as good as last year. Maybe it's chemistry. I don't know. I don't have the answers. And then we got to go. Get ready for that death bell going, because I'm about to transition here. You ready?
Oh, hold on. Oh, boy. All right. Let me go to the producers. Hold on. All right, go.
Then we got the day game at the Death Bell Center where we play the Canadiens. Forget it if they play up there now. It's becoming like an impossible win. And of all things, that sleeve, that pithant Scott Gomez gets that lucky goal off the backboards and puts it in. And I don't know who was announcing that game. Was it Jaffe? I think Jaffe's saying, oh, that's a tough goal to score or something like that. I was like, what? It was a gimme, as we used to say back in the in the day. And again, what? They had 35 shots on net. They outshot the Canadians 35-19, I think. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, they're 0-4 in the power play. I don't know. You know, is that bad luck? I think it's bad luck. I mean, Carey Price played pretty good in that game. He didn't play like no slouch. And, you know, he came back with a beer on in that game. But, again, first period, nothing. Second period, nothing. Third period, nothing, too. But first period, got to get on top here. Especially they play better on the road. I would think they could get a goal. Gabby, only 2 shots in that game. That's disgusting. The Canadians are not that good, Jim. Sorry, no, I'm not buying. I'm not buying what I'm hearing. Canadians are not better than the Rangers. I'm sorry, I am not buying that. No way, Jose.
The thing the Rangers seem to have a problem with Montreal, and it's the same thing they have a problem with against Tampa Bay, is they seem to have a problem with how fast they move the puck. Montreal does very quick. I mean, they get the puck up ice very quickly, just like Tampa Bay. And I think that's part of what the problem is against those two teams. You were talking about Scott Gomez, boy. I don't know if you saw this article, but the Montreal press is turning on him bad. They've had enough of him.
He sucks.
For $8 million, Gomez should learn to act like an adult. It was not a pretty day for the Habs yesterday. A 4-1 loss at home to the Devils and some prime giveaways. And Scott Gomez acting like a petulant, spoiled child, getting himself tossed at the end of the game for no reason at all, except that he decided to run around the ice behaving like a chump. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but you expect more from a guy getting paid $8 million a year. That was in the Montreal Gazette.
This is what we said. I always hated when he used to smirk when the Rangers were losing in between periods. And, you know, yeah, no, we stole. It was highway robbery, that trade. Somebody get on. Well, actually, they were praising that trade the next night when, and our boy, the guy we completely think is creepy there, what's his face? Between the benches there.
McGuire?
Yeah, Pierre McGuire. He was lauding the Rangers. I couldn't believe it. I was like, he's like, Ryan McDonough's an absolute, this guy's going to be a stud for 10 years, 15 years in this league. And I'm hearing all these positive things, and I'm like, why can't I hear this during a Ranger game? Did Pierre get hit on the head? He's actually woke up here. And I'm reading in the chat room, Bill Maher, with Emmerich, and a shot! There's a shot! And a shot! God, and Liz, please, I still think there's semen all over Ed Oldrick's vest or suit from the Pavel Datsyuk, a JocuFest that happened in that broadcast. My God, I understand Pavel Datsyuk is a great player, but to laud him for 60 minutes straight, I mean, come on! It was, it was nauseating. Nauseating, Jim, in his new headset.
Temporary new headset. I don't like it. Sounds all right, but I don't like it.
What do you think? Did you hear any of that? Did you watch any of that nonsense?
I saw bits and pieces of the game, but Well, yeah, it's always the same with Emmerich. You know, I've never been a fan of his. People talk about him like he's Foster Hewitt. I can't stand listening to him. He's only slightly more tolerable when it's an NBC game and the Rangers aren't playing. But to listen to him on doing a Devils Rangers game is just ridiculous. Yeah, every save by Brodeur is like it's an act of God. You know, save by Brodeur. Save Richter.
And a shot.
Dubinsky skates in with the puck. Salvador goes for it. They cancel. What the hell does that? They cancel.
Nice
they cancel.
One to Callahan. What's chunks of pass? What the hell does chunk mean?
Chunks of
pass. Not a word. All right. This is what happens when we lose. We complain about the announcers.
We pick on the announcers. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got a whole list of things to pick on. Well, I mean, you know, there's only so much. Like I said, there's only so much you can say. Every night's been the same thing: 4-1, 1-0, 2-0. Can't score on a power play. Hit the post a couple of times. Rally in the third period, and lose. We knew it was coming. We knew this day would come.
Just gotta take our medicine.
That's right.
Just gotta take our medicine and weather the storm, and don't jump off the ledge. People are insane. And of course, I'm not talking to the people listening to this show. The people in the Ranger—I don't know, what do you call it—the web boards or whatever you want to call them, those message links. Of course, I know the real names for this, but I keep messing it up on purpose. The message boards and your blogs and straight this guy. We need to get a defenseman in here. Defense is the best thing about the team. They're young and they're good. They're really good people. Ryan McDonough looks solid, dude.
Yeah.
He looks real good. He looks like he's going to be better than Sauer. I think he's going to be a little bit better than Sauer. Because I think he's got a little bit more offensive stuff. Yeah, and you're right. See, something's right. Somebody said Ryan Dubinsky in that game. he's right. I didn't make a note on that.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I think they're solid on D. They don't give up many goals. They're just going to put the puck in the net. That's mystifying to me because they have enough guys this year that they should be scoring.
Well, you know what's strange is that, remember the first, I don't know, 6 weeks of the season? They were scoring goals. They were scoring 4 or 5 goals a night, you know, sprinkling in 7 here, 8 there, 5 here, whatever. And we kept saying, they're getting all this scoring, and Gabrick's not scoring, and Prospel's not here, and they're still scoring goals. And we kept saying, they got no second. Last year they had no secondary scoring, and this year that's all they've got is secondary scoring, and they're winning games, and now they've got nothing. They've got no first-endary scoring, no secondary scoring, no third-endary scoring. I got nothing. Did you hear what Avery said the other night after the Red Wings game? I thought this was interesting for a couple of reasons. Did you see this quote?
Uh-huh.
Andrew Gross had it on Ranger Rants, but I'll read this really quick. Sean Avery tied Vinnie Prospel with six shots and drew 2 high-sticking penalties to give the Rangers a chance on the power play at the end. He also needed about 4 stitches above his lip, and yes, he's frustrated as the Rangers' losing streak reached a season-high 5 games. Coach John Tortorella tried to remain upbeat after this one, but Avery said he's had enough of the Rangers playing close but falling short. Yeah, definitely, and I've expressed it personally, said Avery, who was then asked if his teammates were frustrated. Yeah, I hope they are. Our problem isn't in the offensive zone, Avery said. Our problem is on breakdowns where we're having... breakdowns we're having from the blue line in. We play with these teams and they beat us, and that's because we have breakdowns somewhere. We had breakdowns on the last 2 goals of the game, and that's the difference. Now, I thought that was interesting for a couple of reasons. The main reason is it's the first time I've ever heard a hockey break analysis of any kind from Sean Avery. Usually when Sean Avery's talking to the media, he's explaining why he did this to this one or what happened with this penalty. You know what I mean? It was the first time I've ever heard, like, a true analysis of a hockey play, you know, of a game from Sean Avery. It was, I just thought it was kind of interesting. You know, usually, why'd you hit Thomas on the head with your stick as you skated by him? Well, I didn't see him there. You know, I don't know what it was. I don't know what that was. Or what'd you think right. when you got sucker punched? You know, it's always the extracurricular stuff that they're getting from quotes from Sean Avery. It was the first time I've ever heard him actually talk about the X's and O's of a game. You know, I read that and thought, wow, he might be a real hockey player.
Listen, my friend.
Uh-oh.
I just say Avery has been a good soldier. They were saying, the Rangers got Avery's. Avery was one of their best players against Detroit. He was all over the ice.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining about Avery.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people like to get down on him, and whether he's getting first-line minutes or fourth-line minutes, he's not complaining. He does his job. We all know his detractors. You know, some people, Rick Carpinello says he's not very good defensively. I don't really see that too much. To me, Sean Avery's doing the job. I think, because I've been really trying to think. Like, I'm actually holding my skull when I say this. What is wrong? What is wrong with the power play? Now, maybe you guys give me your take on this. Maybe this is just a reach. So, you guys and Jim, let me know. Is it the fact that the Rangers' whole offense, even strength, is based on defense first? Make the short pass, get the puck deep, or get the puck in the zone, and then just take shots. Because the Rangers, Brian Boyle doesn't know what a pass is. That's why he's got 18 goals. He just shoots. And I see a lot of guys, they just shoot. Is it the fact that they have this mentality, when they're even strength, that it's defense first, that perhaps on the power play, they just don't have, because I guess it's so inbred in them to be so defensive, that perhaps they can't be as creative or take chances on the power play? Is it somewhat of a transition to that? Because they kind of look stagnant on that power play. I mean, they don't do a lot of, when they're on offense in the power play, it's always charged to the back of the net. The other team said, and they do that whole grinding and cycling thing, and then it usually winds up with the other team taking the puck and clearing it. And that's 1 minute. They go back in, same thing. Maybe a bad pass goes out. That's another 30 seconds, and then we try it again. And that's 2 minutes. There doesn't seem to be a lot of creativity with the Rangers between the face-off circles. It seems to all generate from behind the net. Is that really how you want to run a power play? I don't think so. And as much as I love Brian Boyle, and he's got 18 goals and this and that, do I really want to see him on the power play with Prust and somebody else? Do we have more skilled guys out there? How do you guys feel about all those points I just threw out there? I mean, does some of it make sense? What do you think?
If Brian Boyle's out there on the power play, then he should be in front of the net. That's it. Put that gigantic body in front of the net and don't move. Don't move. You don't move until you hear your goaltender smacking his stick on the ice that the power play's over. You don't move. They don't send anybody to the net. I went to the Phoenix Coyotes game the other night. They were on the power play. They had somebody in front. I watched their power play because I was dying to see how they do a power play. They had somebody in front of the net the entire power play. The entire time. There was somebody hanging around in front of the net. It was. I'm like, oh, so this is what this looks like. I don't even remember if the Coyotes scored a power play goal the other night. I think they had one. But the entire power play, they had somebody in front of the net. I think they had Verbata in front of the net a couple of times. And he scored two goals the other night. So we might have gotten one on the power play. But they don't send anybody to the net. You watch this power play sometimes, and there's three guys in the back of the net. Like, it's like the Marx Brothers. Three guys scrambling around in the back of the net. Nobody's in the front. One guy's over on the boards, and there's one guy at the point. And then the puck gets cleared. And that's it. I mean, they, you know, we said it 100 times, they spent half the power play just chasing the puck down the other end of the net.
And I think in the chat room has come up with some great answers here. I first agree with Mandar. MZA and Volsky shouldn't be on the points. They should be around the net. I also like this comment by Captain, what was it, Captain 9 New York Ranger, Boyle and Pruss. Shelley and Pruss from last year. Torch puts them out there for the effort and to piss off the underproducing skill guys, which I agree. Ranger HTP, Boyle and Artie should be in front of the net at all times, just like you said. Uh-oh, there's a goalie fight. Tim Thomas and Carey Price are going at it.
Nice. My money's on Thomas.
And again, the face-off, Walker, New York Ranger, good point. They've got a little bit better of late, but still a problem. And I just feel like they don't get a lot of point shots through. So if you got that guy in front of the net, it's useless. I don't know.
They don't shoot enough from the point either, though. You know, they played one game on this four-game stretch. The last four game, maybe it was the game right before our last show, where all night on the power play it was bombs away from the point. They were just taking shots all night long. Whether it was Gilroy, Delzato, whoever it was on the point, they were just shooting the puck and at least putting it in the vicinity of the net. Now, granted, this team doesn't hit the net a lot, but you know, at least put the puck. You know, I got okay. At least that's something. But this, you know, this scrambling around behind the net, and there's nobody in front, and there's one guy on the point, and then it's cleared.
It takes an awful lot of time too to go behind that net and do that thing, and the cycle behind the net. It just seems like they can't let the shackles loose of being defensive minded on the power play. You got to take chances. I see more defensemen pinch in, even strength, than I see when we're on the power play.
Yeah?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer. I'm just throwing out to you guys. I mean, I've been watching it. I mean, they surely have the horses to do it, but it's been abominable. It's cost them a game. You know, get four power plays in the second period. What was that, Montreal game? Consecutive.
Yeah, I think so.
Consecutive.
Yeah.
You got to score.
Against the 24th ranked power play penalty kill in the league. Yeah, you got to score. You got to find a way to score. All right? Did they say that during the game? Montreal's power play penalty kill was 24th in the league?
Yeah.
You got to score.
Captain 9, New York Rangers. What happened to save his death? Well, when he had Enver Leeson in the lineup, that went out of him. Enver Leeson was dead. They had to, you know, he didn't have the personnel to really do it last year. And apparently he doesn't have it this year. He's playing it very conservative. And it's worked. Listen, I got no problems with it. But they got to get goals in this first period. I don't care if it's the even strength. So, you know, they got to capitalize here. So, I don't know. Everybody seems to have it. You say get guys in front of the net. That
nothing else has worked. I mean, you know, they got some big guys on this team. You know, Polish Prince is a big guy. Boyle's a big guy. They have some big bones on this team. Put them in front of the net and see what happens.
And a Polish Prince, I was about to get on torch with that. He only played 9 minutes against the Devils, 13 minutes against the Nads, the Canadians, and then. He played big minutes in the Detroit game. Played almost 18 minutes. I also made a note here. Sauer had more minutes in that Montreal game than any Ranger defenseman. So Tortorella has got to have some big-time confidence in him. You know? Now, what do you think about while we're going on? Oh, the great Sue Papagallo has joined us.
Yeah. And Costa.
Costa. Everybody's here. I tell you, I love these people. They're like family. Like
good
peeps
is what they are. Good peeps.
So, what do you think about the Emminger MDZ? I know where Mandar stands on this. But what do you think? Do you think? How do you guys sum it up, Michael Delzato's play, Jim? How are you summing it up?
Well, here's my thing with Delzato. I can't say I've seen a ton of improvement since he's been back. Does he look slightly better? Yeah. But he had nowhere to go but up, I think. I mean, he was pretty shot when they sent him down. I don't know. A lot of people make the argument that he's better off in Hartford playing, getting his minutes there. I don't know. Is he better off in Hartford than he is? I don't know. I don't have a clear-cut answer for Michael Delzato. I still think the talent's there. I still think he's going to be a good defenseman for them someday. But I don't know what the best way is to fix him, but he's not going anywhere. Tortorella said today he's here to stay. We'll see what happens.
He's still doing a lot of the same things that he was doing before. He's still trying to make that long pass that never worked. He's got to keep it simple, but I think he's shorted up a little bit defensively. He had that one game, but other than that, I surely think for some reason Emminger has fallen out of favor with Torts. And, he's the guy who's seen him from day for day, and Schoenfeld's working with him. Maybe he sees that Emminger may be falling, but I would think they would kind of do it on a game-by-game basis. I didn't really think Emminger would sit this many out consecutively. What is this, like fourth game
set out? But, the other argument is, the other part of that argument is people screaming for years, let's go with youth, let's go with youth. So how does Michael Delzato benefit from having Steve Emminger play ahead of him? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, how much of a difference is there?
Right. And if you want to go with youth, then you got to, have the pain, the growing pains. So it's a conundrum is what it is. It's a dilemma. It's an enigma. It's a dilemma. But I don't really know what the answer is. If he's better off in Hartford or if he's better off with the big club, is he any better or worse than Emminger? Well, I think Emminger's played pretty well. I know he's a minus seven for the year, but I still don't think Emminger's played that bad. They haven't won a game since Emminger's been out of the lineup, but I don't think it's because of Michael Delzato. But I don't know. I'm very surprised he's still here, though. I really thought, when they sent him down, I really thought it was a long-term thing. I thought, he'd probably be there for the rest of the year and he'd get the kinks worked out and be ready for training camp and try and make the team again. And I was very surprised when they brought him back after, five, six games. And then I just figured it was because Girardi was hurt. And all indications were that when Girardi was healthy, he was going back, and now all of a sudden Emminger can't get in the lineup again. And Tortorella said, he's okay with Delzato's play. So, I can't argue with the coach, right? Or can I?
Right. I mean, he's in final say. We just got to, I just want to say one thing, and then when you can get on to whatever you want to get on to.
Okay.
It's a tough road, but we got to stick together, and somebody wrangle in these Looney Tunes on Facebook. Because I'm seeing stuff that really is certifiable. Everybody should be put in a rubber room for some of the things I'm seeing. And not, even on these boards. The real Ranger fans, we're at Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We're calm, we're cool, collected. Well, not really, but still. Let's not get Looney Tunes about this. Now, we're talking about this next week, and they've lost two or three more games. Then I'm going to be fully in panic mode. I'm going to be taking Ativan before I come on this show.
Yeah, because if they lose two or three more games, that will include Friday night's game against Atlanta, and it means they might find themselves on the outside looking in by next week. So, by then it might be. Then it'd be time to start worrying. But, look, the other part of the argument is we all knew coming into this year that it wasn't about this year. Right? And we've been saying that we're okay with them missing the playoffs as long as there's progress. Now, obviously, you don't want to see him just collapse. But, I mean, obviously, I think this team has made great strides from where they were, and I do believe they are headed in the right direction. They're just in a slump. They're just in a slump. What? Expectations change.
That is a prostrate pill.
Mandar makes a fair point. Expectations change. They do.
Well, I just want to quickly again, and then I'll shut up. That when our preseason predictions, you guys had the Rangers way up there. I'm the only one who said they would barely make the playoffs, and I'm glad I've been wrong so far. They've been very productive. So your expectations, Mandar, and your expectations, Jim, were a lot higher than mine. So anyway. And I did see that Jay did that. I will give him props. He was trying to hold down the fort of sanity on Facebook today, telling everybody to relax. So anyway, we're done with that. Get on with whatever you do on this show when I'm not talking.
Jay, to answer your question, it was Rick Carpinello who said on this show right before Christmas that he wanted to see how Ranger fans would react when they hit that, I think he said 7-game losing streak, God forbid. So, you know, look, I think we all knew there was going to be, you know, there's an ebb and flow to a season. They're not a dominating team. So we've reached that point. Now, I want to answer really quick. C17, who was in a conversation a few minutes ago in the chat room regarding one former Ranger, Michael Roosevelt. Is he playing in Phoenix? I can attest to it. I saw it live on Monday night. Michael Roosevelt on the ice. I'll tell you, really quick, I'll tell you guys this story. I got free tickets from the president of my company last week for the Coyotes game Monday night against the Avalanche. Okay? So my friend and I went to the game, and as it turns out, another guy that I work with does security at the Jobbing.com arena. So I talked to him before I left work on Monday, and he said, call me when you get to the arena. He said, I will try and get you into the Toyota Club. Toyota Club is like this exclusive sports bar type thing that they have in the underneath the arena. So we get to the game. We meet him. He gets us into the Toyota Club. It's pretty cool. It's a big sports bar, whatever, and they have all kinds of food, and it's all free, right? So they turned me and my buddy loose on a free buffet. And I'm not just talking about hot dogs and hamburgers. I mean, there was a guy cutting sirloin. There was Asian beef and rice and broccoli and all kinds of great food, right? We ate just about everything. And then they give you tabs for free beers and everything. But anyway, so we're sitting at this table, and we're watching the Rangers-Red Wings game. They had it on one of the TVs, and this guy that I work with comes over to check on us, and he says, no, you got to go sit over there by the wall. They have this wall where there's like, it's kind of like a wall, but it's like there's a design in the wall so you can, so that it's open almost. I can't quite describe it for you, but it's like diamonds, cinder blocks, right? And he says the Coyotes will come right down the tunnel there, and you'll be able to, you can reach through the wall, you high-five them, whatever. So I'm like, oh, I got to do this, right? So we go over, and we're sitting there, we're waiting. The first period ends, I got my phone ready, right? And there I see Michael Roosevelt, and he's walking right towards me, right? And I stick my phone up. I couldn't get a real clear picture of him. It was blurry because he was walking. But he just came walking. He was like a foot from me, and he looked right at me, and I looked right at him. I just said, how you doing, Michael? He just nodded at me and kept right on going. So that was it. I made my peace with Michael Roosevelt. I took some pictures of him while he was on the ice. I will say this for him. He skated better in that game than I have seen him skate for the Rangers in a long time. He looked okay. The Coyotes played a good game. It was a fun night, and we got to see the players. No, I didn't punch him. I was a guest. I had to behave myself. I was very reserved. Until towards the end of the game, I started heckling him a little bit when we were sitting down by the ice because my friend, the guy that I work with, had upgraded our seats and moved us three rows behind the Avalanche bench. So it was really nice. I got some nice pictures. I'll put them on Facebook at some point. But then Roosevelt gets on the ice. There's about 3 minutes left, and there was nobody at the arena. They announced the crowd at 9,000. If there were 5,000 people there, I'd be amazed. So anyway, the Roosevelt's on the ice, and he skates by me. I yelled out, "I can't believe the Rangers, the Coyotes actually gave up a live human being for you, right?" And we're just laughing at him. I'm like, and he goes into he's in his own zone. He's doing the shopping cart, and I'm yelling, "It's the Roosevelt shopping cart! It's the shopping cart! He brought it to Phoenix." So anyway, that was my night with Michael Roosevelt. But he's alive and well, and he's loving life in the desert. Apparently, at least he's there's no fans here to heckle him, so I think he'll be all right. Best of luck to you, Michael. Best of luck. So that's my coyote story.
Wow.
It was a fun night.
You hanging around with all the big guys.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I'm telling you, if I could ever... I told him already, I said, the Rangers come here next year. I said, I want in the Toyota Club. I said, and I'm not sitting by the Coyotes wall. I said, I'll be over at the Rangers wall. I said, so don't ask me. I said, my fat ass will be parked right there. And they had ice cold Labatt's in the cooler. Oh, I was in heaven. It was a good night. It was fun.
Fun. Good night.
Yeah, it was.
And who did I tell you to look out for in that game?
You told me to look out for Pyatt.
And who scored in that game?
Pyatt did.
Yeah, well, I
and
tell
Rabada.
You.
And Rabada. Rabada had two goals. Brzgalov played
did
a Pyatt nice game.
Did Pyatt have the winner?
No, I think Rabada had the first goal. I think he had the first goal and the last goal. And then, what's his name? Cody McLeod got into a fight, and we were standing. He got into a fight with, I forget who he got into a fight with. But we were standing down in the right in that tunnel where the Avalanche go into the locker room, because that's where you have to go to get to the Toyota Club. And we were standing right there, and he comes off the ice, throws his stick, throws his gloves. He's cursing up a storm. F this, F that. I was like, oh, this is great.
See, you're there live. You're looking live.
Yeah, it was fun. We did it live. So, anyway, all right. We're going to go to the phones. You ready to go to the phones?
Let's go. I want to hear what everybody's got to say. Who's got the answers out there?
All right. Well, let's see. 718-645. Do you have the answers?
Probably not.
Who's this?
This is Rocco from Brooklyn, guys. How are you?
Rocco, from Brooklyn.
How are you, guys?
Is this your first time calling?
Second time, actually.
Second time. Okay. Well, how are you?
Hello. Much better now than it was like 2 weeks ago.
Why is that?
Let's put it this way. Operation.
Oh, okay. Oh. Wait a minute. Are you talking about Drury?
No, I'm not talking about Drury.
Oh, okay.
Now, yet.
Oh.
I'm talking
you
about
had
my
prostate
tonsils.
Removed?
No. I have my tonsils removed.
Oh, okay. Tonsils? They still do that?
Yeah, they still do that. But not as much as they used to.
You sound like an old... How old are you?
27.
Oh, you're an older guy to get your tonsils ripped out.
Well, you get the strep throat a lot.
Yeah, you must have had it bad.
Yeah, that and sleep apnea.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. All right, so you're feeling better. You're at 100%. You're ready to go. What's the answer for this power play, Rocco, from Brooklyn?
I have no idea what the answer is.
The rest of us.
I have no idea, man. I'm watching these guys playing. I'm saying, okay, now it's talking about annual slump. What's next? Oh, yeah, the Pens fans are starting to make fun of us again.
Well, they got their own problems over there. They're a Crosby away from being a disappointment of a season. They're not going to be going far if Crosby's... Because it is rumored, there was a report that came out earlier today. But they denied that Crosby was done for the season. But
Malkin,
if that happens,
I'll forget it.
So, what are you thinking about the Rangers? What's wrong? Why are we losing? Give me something. I need some solid.
Really?
I don't know. We got rid of Roosevelt. We got rid of Redden. I don't know what the hell is wrong now. Delzato slumping. Gavrik slumping. I don't know what the hell is going on now. This whole team is just going downhill now.
It's just a slump. The Fonz is in a slump.
Yeah, and like half the guys got injured. They came back. Now they're not doing that well. At one time, I started calling this team the Hartford Rangers.
Huh?
Because half the team was like, you know, friggin' whale.
Yeah, well, we were doing well back in those days. Now everybody's back and we stink. How does that work?
I don't know. Especially Frostwell. Now he's back. I'm expecting, yeah, we're going to win again. He scores, what, one goal? Shite.
You're not really lifting my spirits here, Rocco. I gotta
tell you. You're not consoling him. You know, the widow Geik is requesting is looking for consolation here. Wants people to bring him casseroles.
He wants a consolation here. Drew's out again, and you know what? Who cares? He's what you call it? Someone won a one message board to go to. He called them. Captain Useless.
Well, that's up there. What's going to happen? I'm sorry to interrupt you because I don't know. He's out. What happens if he's out the rest of the year? Does something happen with his cap money or something?
Is he supposed to be leaving this season after the season's over?
No, his contract does not run out until the end of next year. I don't know. They started talking about that on Blue Shirt Banner today, and I couldn't really follow along. DB Maven was trying to explain it, and I thought he said that his cap money would not come off because the Rangers are under the cap already or something like that. It was pretty convoluted. I wish Dave Shapiro was around tonight, and he could call in and explain it to us, but because he's the expert. But DB knows that stuff pretty well, too. Or maybe somebody in the chat room knows. But I don't think his cap money will come off. So, all right. Well, listen, Rocco, we got a lot of calls we're going to take tonight. But I thank you for calling. Take care of those.
Can you leave me on hold?
So I can do that.
The show?
Sure.
All right.
Because my computer, I don't know what the hell's wrong with my connection now. That's why.
All right. No problem.
Rock.
Feel
all
better.
Right.
We'll talk
take
to you
care,
soon.
Man.
Okay, see you.
All right. Real quick, let's talk about Drury for a second because I didn't want to touch on this. As everybody knows, he's going to be out for 6 weeks with the knee injury. He's going to have surgery on the knee. All I want to say is everybody knows how I feel about Chris Drury. But the amount of Ranger fans that I saw today on Facebook and Twitter that were happy that he's hurt, I mean, come on. I didn't want it to end like this. Nobody wanted to see this guy come back and be productive more than I did, but I would hope we're above rooting this guy into surgery, aren't we? A little.
Eddie? I don't know. Am
I going to miss him? No, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to miss him at all. But did I want him to get hurt so that his season be over? No, I didn't want him to get hurt.
I didn't. You know, listen. I don't wish the guy any ill will. I just want him off the team.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, come on, we gotta have a little compassion, a little, you know, come on. We're better than this, I like to think. Aren't we? No?
Well,
are we not?
Sometimes.
Sometimes we're better. Sometimes we're better than this. He's got no bigger detractor than me, I don't think.
Right, you and you Rock. Rock was Roosevelt, but you...
But at no point did I want him to get hurt so that he'd miss the rest of the season. I just want him to go away. But I do think at this point, I think we've probably, I mean, he's out 6 weeks, right? 6 weeks takes you to near the end of March. And who knows if he'll really be recovered in 6 weeks. They're estimating 6 weeks. I kind of got the feeling we've seen the last of him. What do you think, Eddie?
Oh, I hope so. I hope he's over there in Connecticut with his ball and playing his, Frank DeFazio imitation he's going to be doing over there with Lenny and Squiggy making pizza. I mean, yeah, I want him gone.
Shlemiel Schlemazel.
Yeah. We may have to do a road trip to that pizza. Imagine like 15, 20 of us walk in. Okay, you suck. Get me a pizza boy. No, but, yeah, I don't wish any ill will. People get too crazy about sports nowadays. Listen, I'm as emotional as they come, but I'm not wishing bad things on this guy. I just want him off the team. He's the last albatross. He's got to be, you know, he's got to be removed, surgically or otherwise. But I don't know what the cap ramifications are. Do we get extra money that he doesn't play? I know this happened. Some other team had a guy go out on injury, and it freed up some room. And I don't know, it wasn't Malkin, I don't think. But, you know, so I don't know. It's a happy day, but it still doesn't solve the problems. Right now we get Chris Drury would fit in great with this team. They don't score. So, who is he stopped from playing? I mean, who's going to replace him? I mean, anybody's better than him. Nobody. We can bring him back up to get more goalie interference penalties that cost us games. I mean, you know, whatever. The contract's the big thing. The money is the big thing. You know? Who's going to get the captain? Are they going to name? Can they name an interim captain?
They could. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I think you'll just see three A's. You might only see two A's. Who knows?
Yeah. I see Dig Deep is lauding the great caloric intake. Chad Caloric. After I mentioned Chris Nobody. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, Jim. You know, this team definitely does not have the play like a Chris Drury.
Now, I got to break in here because we have breaking news, sort of. They've been talking about it a little bit in the chat room. But the great Hugh Jessamine has been traded. We haven't mentioned him in a while on this show. Hugh Jessamine was traded. Let me get the details here. Panthers acquired Jack Skill, Hugh Jessamine, and David Pekan. From Chicago, for Michael Frolik and Alexander Salik. And I apologize if I got every one of those names wrong, except for Jessamine. But, yeah, there you go. The great Hugh Jessamine traded. Hugh Jessamine traded more times than he's played NHL games.
Or both, maybe.
Oh, man. The great Hugh Jessamine.
More Ajita. I mean, bring that name up.
So Hugh Jessamine and Al Montoya traded in the same day.
What are the odds of that?
Somewhere Pavel Brendel is packing a suitcase.
Christian Dubé is taking a train out of town.
He was second round, wasn't he? Wasn't he a second round pick? Didn't somebody correct me on that a couple weeks ago when I said he was a first round pick?
No.
How about Jamie Lundmark? Is he getting nervous?
Probably. So,
Torpedo. Let's Torpedo is on the block.
Sanguinetti.
Oh, hit the other night, too. Oh, so, Sanguinetti's hurt. I don't think he can get traded. Isn't he out for the year?
Oh, and speaking of which.
Uh-oh.
This was something else. Do you see you got waived by Anaheim?
Wait, Nigel Dawes?
That Rock got it. Voros.
Oh, he spent half his career on waivers. And Alex Kotelik got sent to the AHL. They ought to just call him Aaron Voros. Aaron has been waived Voros.
Voros, no Moros with the Ducks.
Oh, I wish we had that clip.
Voros, no Moros.
What was it? You scattered the Bambinos.
The Bambinos.
So, a bad
all the
day for
bumps are recirculating.
Yeah. It's like Ranger Bums musical chairs today. When the music stops, who's left? So, Voros cleared waivers, really? Wow. Wow.
So we got that. A lot of crappy Rangers being recirculated. Wow. That's right. So anyway, well, what do we get on the phone? I need some solace. Give me some consolation. Give me some answers.
All right, here comes Mr. Gloom and Doom himself, the man who predicted this losing streak. Rock, how are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Good. How you feeling?
Good, good.
Good.
King got back from Toronto. Got back from Detroit. I'm sorry. Last night, I saw another wonderful Ranger road game. opinions of Detroit, there's absolutely nothing to do there. So unless you're going to see a Ranger game, there's nothing to do there.
First of all, this man talks to like I've never been to Detroit. You didn't go to Hockey Town and taste their overpriced food?
No, I didn't make it there.
Yeah, well, Hockey Town has some nice memorabilia, some jerseys to look at.
Yeah.
At the restaurant there. Did you visit some of the more urban sections there? The burnt out buildings and.
Well, I visited Big Boys.
Yeah, are you looking at
Big Boys? Was very good.
You go to Johnny Sam King. There's a lot of great places to eat down there. It really looks like. It looks like the apocalypse downtown.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it looks like.
Like Beirut?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rob.
I actually had my tickets. I bought tickets, and I picked them up at the will call. So I went to with my buddies. We went to pick them up, and there were a bunch of people, a bunch of eBayers, standing by where the Rangers come out. So I actually got to meet and take a few pictures with some of the guys. They looked so beaten. I mean, they looked, I don't know if the word is beaten. They just looked shot. Like, they looked overwhelmed, and they didn't look happy. I don't know how else to explain it. I guess on a four-game losing streak, I don't know what you would expect them to look like. But every one of them looked pissed off, annoyed. I wasn't there, but someone had said that Avery King had come out before I got there. And he basically screamed at the entire crowd there, "I'm not signing autographs, just leave me the F alone." So everyone seemed like they were very uptight and very annoyed about, I guess, with the way things are going, and, well, they should be. And, you know, plain and simple, it was, like Jim said, it was another typical game. Howard made 47 shots on net. Half of them were from the hash marks out, especially in the second and third period. Then they get a 5-on-3 with almost a minute left in the game, and they don't even get a shot on goal. So, I mean, from a perspective of that game, seeing it firsthand, a road game, you know, it's just getting very frustrating to see their power play the way it is. And even Tortorella said it in his post-game press conference. They don't know. He doesn't know what to do, basically. I mean, he's tried every combination. But my thing is it the combination or is it the style in which they don't park anybody in front of the net? And, Jim, you said it perfect. Boyle, they scored. It was a perfect example against Toronto. They scored a nice power play goal with Boyle standing in front of the net deflecting a pass, deflecting a shot. And they just don't do it. All three guys are on the perimeter, and they try the same play. They either try a blast from the point and try to get a rebound, which half the time gets blocked, or they try that seam pass from one guy to the other and try that backdoor play. I mean, obviously, eventually, if you see that it's not working, you got to try something else. You can't keep trying the same thing. And then watch the Ranger game the next time they're on a power play. Every single time they come up the left side of the ice, it's always right point man up to the left side of the ice, almost every time into the zone. Just watch it the next time you play.
Interesting.
They just did it 10 times, and my buddy's in the chat room now who was with me at the game, and he'll tell you, we counted 10 times they did the same exact play entering the zone. Right point man to the left side, to the left winger, every single time.
They like to run behind the left tackle.
Who's your buddy in the chat room?
Tiles 1976. He's actually my partner in crime. We go to he's my other part of my season ticket contingent.
Nice.
So
I like him.
Well, Tolls, you got to come back. Don't be a stranger.
So I mean, they were saying. I was listening to NHL Live yesterday. They were saying that one guy doesn't make a difference on the point. And from perspectives of Mando made a great point. They haven't got blown out in any games this season. I think maybe a handful of games. I think the most they've lost in a game was maybe 3 goals, maybe 4. But I think the most they've lost in a game was by 3 goals. So they're not getting blown out by any team this season. So they're in every game. The team, I think, needs some kind of shakeup. The problem is who do you replace out of the lineup? That's really the problem at this point.
Right.
And I know, Jimmy, you said it's not about this year, not about this year. But I'll tell you, with the exception of Philly, every other team in the Eastern Conference, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, Tampa Bay, the Rangers can beat any one of those teams in a series. Any one of those teams they can beat. The only team I'm fearful of is Philly. I think in a seven-game series, they can go head-to-head against any other team in the Eastern Conference at this point. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't disagree with you.
No, it's hard to again, last week I kind of knocked myself for talking about playoffs and how far they could go.
Playoffs?
And I was just like, again, I got ahead of myself, and I'm saying I shouldn't have talked about it because now they're going to stick it up, and they did. So I still think you're right. I think they're better than a lot of the teams. We're starting to see some teams fall out. Some teams, Atlanta looks like they were pretty much a pretender for the early part. I mean, they've had some struggling of late. Some other teams, Carolina, I think the Rangers are better than Carolina, yeah. But it depends, you know. Again, they're losing. They got to beat these teams in their division. You got to beat the Devils. You got to beat Montreal.
The South teams, for some reason this year, they've had a hard time with Tampa Bay, with Florida, with Carolina, with whatever that was. It the South, was it Southeast teams? For whatever reason, they've had a really tough time with that group of teams, and you know,
except for Washington,
yeah, they played.
Well, they
Washington
beat Atlanta,
well.
Didn't they?
They lost to Atlanta once, and then they beat Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
I think these next four games, and I looked at the schedule again, and they have Atlanta. They have a very banged up Pittsburgh team on Sunday. And I think they play L.A., and then they play the Devils. You know, I mean, again, I think it's a very important four-game swing. And games are getting harder, and there's teams that are fighting to still stay in it. They play Buffalo, I think, another two or three times. They play Florida again. They're playing teams that are desperate to stay in the race.
Right.
And they're going to have to do something. I don't know. If Cabrera's the answer, I don't know if McCabe's the answer. And again, I'm not saying to trade anybody on the current roster, with the exception of my only person I think is expendable is either Eminger or Gilroy, because I don't think you're bringing either of them back next season. But I think you need to.
But by the same token, you're not getting anything in return for either one of them.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how other teams view Gilroy around the NHL. I don't know what he is. He doesn't put up points, and he's not a great defenseman. I don't really know what he does, what kind of defenseman he is. So I don't know how he's viewed to other teams. But I'm definitely not bringing him back for almost $2 million.
No. No.
So, I mean, I'm honestly, I don't know what you're going to get. I know, Jimmy, you had said that you didn't think the draft was going to be this deep this year. But they have 2 second-round picks. And, you know, I don't know what kind of value whoever's left in Hartford has, but maybe you can use that second-round pick and maybe a lower-end prospect and get Cabrelet or McCabe or someone like that to kind of hopefully jumpstart the team's power play. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I think they need a jolt of some kind. And
if this continues, I think they might. You know, they might. At this point, I'm not pushing the panic button yet, but if it comes trading deadline time and they still haven't figured this out, maybe they do. Maybe they send Drachev off, you know, and you know, a pro, you know, some picks, you know, or a Gilroy, or to Gilroy, to Toronto, get Cabrelet in here. Is the Chevy Cabrelet answer? I don't know. I think it's a philosophy problem.
Yeah, Cabrelet's actually played well recently.
Yeah, I saw the game the other night. He looked pretty good. But,
and you know he's not going to be intimidated playing in New York because he plays in Toronto, and let's be honest.
He's been under the microscope for a while.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. I know it's a tough scenario to be in because we like all the guys on the team. I mean, with the exception of El Capitan, there's really nobody on this team that I really can honestly say that I would want to banish somewhere else. But, you know, you think about it, the Rangers have a lot of good players, a lot of good prospects, a lot of good young players. They don't have they don't have that great guy. They don't have that next level. And to win the Cup, I think you need to have at least two game breakers on the team, whether it's two forwards, a defenseman and a forward. You know, if they prove you can win, you can go to the finals at least and almost win with average goaltending. I mean, Niemi proved that. But, I mean, look at all the teams that won the Cup, and with the exception of Carolina, every one of these teams have had at least two really stud top-end players. And right now the Rangers don't have that. And I don't know if it's in their system. I don't know if Stefan eventually comes. I mean, the guy has 15 goals, which blows my mind for a rookie. But do they have are their young players going to be great, or are they going to kind of stay on the same path where we're going to hope that they get 20, 25 goals a season? I mean, DeBinsky and Callahan are slowly starting to get into their prime of their career. I hope that we're able to make that next step and not kind of stay status quo where we're praying that they get 25 goals a year.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I think Callahan, and listen, I'm going to, again, don't send the emails to me because I'm going to delete them. But I don't think Ryan Callahan's ever going to get 25 goals in this league. He does a hell of a lot of everything. But to score goals, I just don't see him getting 25 goals in this league. He's streaky. He's a warrior. He's a hell of a hockey player. But they're going to need to come up with some kind of homegrown talent one of these years. One of these years, Jim and Rock, when do we develop a scorer? Who was the last scorer we developed? Give it to me, anybody.
Tony Amonte.
I was just going to say Tony Amonte.
Doug Waite.
How many goals did he get?
He didn't score. I think he scored 30 with us a couple of times, but he did most of his scoring in Chicago. But I agree with you. The Rangers have never drafted Rick Middleton. They've never drafted.
They drafted Don Maloney for the last 30 years. That's what we get.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rock.
They've never been able to draft, especially in the first round. They've never been able to draft a top end forward. Kovalev is probably their best guy that I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And for every Kovalev, there's a Peter Ferraro, there's a Stefan Chernevsky, there's a Mike Stewart, Hugh Jessamyn, Lundmark, Brendel. I mean, the list can go on and on. Manny Malhotra. So they've never been able to draft. But then again, they're never drafted in that top five. They never really drafted in that top five either. And,
when you guys see Zuccarello, do you think a future 30-goal scorer?
I thought he'd shoot more. He's a great playmaker. He makes passes that, you know, I haven't seen made, you know, since probably Gretzky. And I'm not putting him on the same level, but it's not fair. But he makes passes that I think surprise guys. I thought he was more of a shooter.
Yeah. He's very strong on the puck, and he likes to dish it off. I thought he was more of a marksman, too, just like you did. And I'm amazed by the kid's strength. He really he's good along the boards.
I was looking at San Luis' stats, and San Luis didn't hit his peak until he was 25 years old, and that was his first season. He hit 18 goals when he was 25 years old, which is 2 years older than Zuccarello is right now. So if he's half as good as San Luis, I think we made out pretty good.
Yeah.
So, that's just something
now
to think about.
Now Derek Stepan, he's another guy who looks more like he's a setup guy than a sniper. I mean, you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, he does have 15 goals. I mean, the puck just seems to find him on the ice, which is shocking to me that they just, I don't know if they're just not keying on him yet, but he's been in opportunities where the puck has just found him on his stick and he's been able to just poke it home. He did it the other night against Toronto, and they did it a couple of nights against against Florida, where the puck was just there, bounced off the goalie's pad, and it was right there on his stick, and he banged it in. But I mean, one guy mentioned Chris Kreid. I think Chris Kreid is going to be an outstanding player. I've seen this kid skate, and he's amazing. I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he flies.
I think he's going to be. I think he's and as C-17 mentioned about Stepan, his mom is extremely hot, which really trumps anything about Derek's play.
That's right.
So sweet.
Even if he scores 5 goals next year, his mom is hot.
She's a hill. She's a hockey a milf. A hockey mom I'd like to fornicate with.
All right, Rock. Listen, we got to get a lot of phone calls in
tonight.
All right,
guys. Be good.
We'll talk to you next time.
You got it. Be good. Have a good week.
Take it easy. You too.
Later.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Let's bring in Mandar. How are you, sir?
And good evening, gentlemen and listeners across the sea.
It's like Walter Winchell.
Folks, we are in the dog days of February. That's all. We are in a playoff position with a defense that averages 26 years old and only has 5 talented players on it at this time. We're dealing with our all-world goaltender who's having a little bit of a slump right now, and yet still somehow we wind up being in every game and always have a chance to win it. Now, in those games, it seems that the difference is obviously going to be you can't make a mistake or it's in your net, or you got to rely on a power play that's non-existent. That is all. But for anybody to sound the alarms right now, it's just insane.
Well, I agree with you on that. Let me ask you this, Mandar.
Yeah?
What do you think about Tortorella kind of making it personal when it comes to Henrik and Gabrick? He benched Gabrick at the end of that, didn't put him on the power play at the end of that one game. What was that, the Detroit game or was it the Montreal game? I forget which one.
I think it was the Montreal game. But I'll tell you what, I think he's half right and half wrong. I think that's one of the ways you can motivate Lundqvist is to question him because I think he'll come back stronger on that. But I totally disagree with what he's doing with Gabrick. A guy like that, you give him – and we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago when we brought up that Kovalev, you know, comparison, what Keenan did with him. You don't give a skull scorer, your sniper, less ice time and sit him down and go, hey, see what you're doing? You give your sniper more ice time, and I hate to even say this, but Brooks even had that in his article. If he could even recognize it, then I'm surprised Torts doesn't. But this is a guy that is your acknowledged sniper. The league acknowledges it. Every team will go ahead before the game and plan how you stop Gabrick. Yeah, he only has goals in 9 games this year, and he's got, 10 or 9 goals against 3 teams. But you rest assured that every team that does any kind of pregame talk about the Rangers talks about Gabrick. And yet this guy, you know, he hasn't been able to get it going this year for whatever reason. But he still is Gabrick, and he's still the sniper. He didn't magically lose a scoring touch from last year and his whole career. It's a slump, sure. He's got 14 goals. He's missed a lot of games. Okay. He doesn't need a playmaker. He doesn't need a Mike Richards to make him better. He just needs to do what got him going last year. This guy needs more ice time, not less ice time. You're not going to sit Gabrick and all of a sudden everybody else is magically going to score more. And then you're going to say, see, Marion, see how everybody else does it? I think he's doing a wrong move there, but I don't have any problem with what he says to Lundqvist because, you know, Lundqvist is treated like a king, and this guy is a leader on the team. And I think he'll take that criticism to heart, and I think it'll make Lundqvist a better player, but I totally disagree with what he's doing with Gabrick.
I think I'm right on, you know, I'm right on pace with you, with what you're thinking there. I think you're very lucid tonight for a change.
Lucid?
A lot of people are commenting. No, I'm only kidding. There are a lot of people commenting that you sound like you're calling from a submarine, which is badass. And they're also saying some people that you're calling from a bathroom, which they also think is badass. So
I said, I said, Mandar does call in from the bathroom. He's most comfortable in there. And who is it?
So,
I do the show from the bathroom once.
No, we're just calling from the home office.
From home office. So you're in relaxed mode like the rest of us then.
Absolutely, but I do get frustrated at the power play. I it doesn't have any resemblance of coaching, and that's the thing. I mean, if you're putting out guys like you're putting playmakers on the point. So are you going to all get upset because we're not getting any quality shots from the point? You don't have a shooter back there. You don't put anybody with a hard shot back there. Stahl would do it occasionally, or Girardi maybe, but none of your forwards have blasts right now that are point men. So you don't put a playmaker back there because what are they going to do? They're going to give you wrist shots from the point? Why do you think all these guys collapse down low on the Rangers and on the power play? That's one of the things that's killing them. I forget the other caller that just called and talked about it. It's true about the Ranger power play being predictable. Of course, have you ever seen a power play get outnumbered in the corners? I haven't, and you got a man advantage because they're all dropping down low because not one Ranger point man will actually wind up and take a big blast. Maybe there's somebody in front of them. You know what? Gonchar wouldn't care. Knock him down. You go ahead and stand in front of him again. But the Rangers don't have that right now, and that's a missing part. So what do? They don't come into the offensive zone with speed. They stand around. They dump it in. Well, you got to go from a standing start. You're going to get beat by the defenseman every time. You know, you set up along the boards constantly. I swear to God, you watch them set up. There are 3-point men out there. What kind of a threat is that? And the two guys are standing on the sides of the net. It seems fundamentally sound, and you would think to yourself, my God, don't these guys realize this? How hard is it to see? We watch it all the time. They watch the tapes. I don't understand. Avery doesn't get enough ice time. He's the only guy creating things out there. Boyle doesn't get hardly any power play time. He'll go in front of the net. I want to see Anisimov take that great wrist shot that he uses as a screen in the middle of the ice. But when you got no shooters, you have nobody with a blast. So you put a guy like I couldn't imagine anything worse than seeing Zuccarello on the point. What a waste of this man's talent. The guy can score from down low. Do you remember that along the crease goal he scored in overtime for us? I mean, the guy's got hands down low. What are you putting him on the point? It's a waste of time there. So that's my soapbox on the power play.
Well, very good analysis. See, this is why I chose Mandar over you, Jim, initially for my show.
Thanks.
So he's just superior. But once the ratings went down, me and Mandar had to part ways, and I hooked onto this colostomy bag of a show.
Jesus. Somewhere in there, there's a compliment for you and maybe for me, but I think you'd have to dig pretty deep to find both of them.
Oh wow! I just got a compliment from Paulie D. I don't know if I'm doing something right or I don't know how I should take that.
Paulie D will give you the compliment if you deserve it.
Well, Mandar, you might need to go out on a high note.
Seriously, if Ricky was still in the room, I don't know. He could not be over with that.
Ricky O with the big show on Sunday night, in case you didn't see the links.
Yeah.
Is he giving away a free T-shirt?
I just wanted to set Mandar up there.
Yeah. that was Gretzky behind the net.
Mandar, do you want to stay on with us? We'll bring in some other calls.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Let's see. I think 609-204. I think this is Captain. Is this Captain?
That's correct. My goal is to speak slower this week, so I'm going to make a concerted effort to do that so that anybody can understand what I am saying.
Actually, we got six people on hold behind you and 35 minutes to go, so I wouldn't – don't slow it down too much.
See how it is? All right.
when we need you to fill time, we'll slow you down. But tonight, just go at regular speed.
10-4. The game that they lost, the only one I didn't watch was the Montreal game because I said I wasn't because I knew how it was going to end and I don't want a cookie for that, Mandar. But they didn't get outworked in any of those games. I mean, the Devils game, if you're not going to beat that team six times, doesn't matter how bad they are, it's a rivalry. They're going to get up to play you. They don't beat Pittsburgh at home. They don't beat Detroit in Detroit. And they don't beat Montreal in Montreal. The Florida game was what it was. I mean, I'd rather have this stretch now than in April when they're going to need to win games. So maybe they get out of their system now. My concern is that, say, they're going to hit the panic button a little bit because he's probably talking to, you know, Jimmy Dolan, who's trying to pay for these catwalks they're going to build, and says, hey, Glenn, we need some playoff revenue.
That's
the name of the game. It always is. And I just, you know, we've talked about this. Like, let's go make a trade. Who are you going to trade? The guys that other teams want are the guys you want to keep, and the guys that you want to give away are guys other teams don't want. And I forget who said this, but, yeah, your most likely trade targets are to trade away. And, again, I'm not making Mandar's top 10 right now, but probably Emminger and Gilroy, because you have defensemen that are coming, and I wouldn't shock them at all. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Emminger traded out west for whatever draft pick you can get. But they're not going to go and trade for a Cabrelet. I mean, just for a litany of reasons. I mean, I said this in the chat room. I'd rather have the type of pain that we're going through now than the type of pain that we went through in the early part of the 2000s. These are constructive pains. It's like we're giving birth to a long-term contender. I don't really think that we need to, you know, take that off the track to try to get this team into the – I mean, yeah. Are we
one of the top 18 teams? Yeah. I'm sorry. The whole analogy of giving birth to a long term team. I like that. We're fully effaced. Giving birth is messy. Dig Deep just said in the chat room.
You know.
So what you're saying
right now,
is you're just hoping that the Rangers don't go for the C-section.
Right. You know what? Don't take it out early. It's not done cooking yet. It might. You know what happens if you do that? It might come out and it might have some disability.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
We already talked about Michael Roosevelt. But
Roosevelt is coming up. Make sure you buy presents. The thing with the power play, you know, and I kind of just thought of this as we were just talking and stuff. I think the reason the power play is not their strong point is because when they're outworking teams, that's how they beat teams. It's not because they have an overly high level of skill. They just outwork teams. So they are countering other teams' over-aggression, and the Rangers counter that. When they're on the power play, the other teams are kind of backing in. It's almost like football when, you know, run blocking and pass blocking. They don't seem to thrive when they're in control.
I'd agree with that a little bit, to a certain extent.
Gabrick's not going to learn by watching Brian Boyle. They're two entirely different players. Brian Boyle doesn't deke through four people and score a goal. Not that Gab's doing that lately, but they're just different players. I mean, you can stick Zuccarello in front of the net, and you can shoot a high slap shot, and you don't have to duck, and they'll probably still go in the net. But I don't really think that's the answer either. They don't have a guy at the point, but I don't think you're going to mortgage the future to make that change now. I mean, if you're going to trade any prospects, you probably can trade defensive prospects because you have so many of them. And I think McElrath's probably the last high pick they make on defense. They're not going to be doing any of that anytime soon. We really need scorers. And, you know, we would have had one, you know, rest in peace, but what are you going to do? Nobody planned for that. You know, again, I think that, you know, the team's headed in the right direction. Everybody says that, even bald-head Pierre McGuire, who still can't believe they drafted Dylan McElrath. I just don't think it's going to – it's not long-term possible to start moving younger guys.
Go ahead. Sorry. He's laughing at something that's going on.
I'm laughing at Mandar in the chat room. I'm sorry. I got to stop reading this chat room. It just makes me laugh.
Very rude.
We're having a good time. We're trying to laugh in the face of adversity.
You got to stay loose, right?
Right.
Got to stay
exactly.
loose.
So you're not worried too much.
No, we can't worry.
You're not worried.
We have to shoot more from the side, I think. I think is what we need to start doing.
Oh, that's such a setup. You should give it to him from that.
All right. But, I don't want to take up too much of time. I want to let everybody else talk, but hopefully I talk about my good speed tonight.
And we do want to give our condolences to the Giannone family. We have a lot of fun at John's expense, but in case you hadn't heard, his family suffered a loss this last week, and we do want to all the best to John Giannone and his family. Like I said, we have a lot of fun at his expense, but he is part of the familia, so we hope they're doing okay or as well as can be expected.
Absolutely, just let's be happy. It's John Giannone, not Chico. Look at the upside.
That's right. All right, Captain, we'll talk to you next time.
All right, guys.
All right, brother.
Take it easy.
See you.
All right, moving down the list. We got like 8 people on hold here. We'll get to you guys, I promise. I think this is Costa.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm going to tell you what the problem is.
Here it comes.
The season is the lockout. Until last season, we were spoiled with the playoffs for 4 straight years. If I said this again and again, if we had the team from last year and this year coming out of the lockout, there would be no complaining from anybody because they would say we're rebuilding. Agree or disagree?
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, aren't we all happy that they're rebuilding? I mean, that should be...
Now they're rebuilding. Where was this after the lockout?
Well, we can't go back in time. I'm just saying now, I guess since we didn't make the playoffs last year, and that was a very frustrating way to end our season, that a lot of fans are getting... Now, we saw a lot of this early during the holidays. The Rangers lost 2 games, and it was like, here comes the Rangers' holiday swoon again. Everybody's doom and gloom. Finally, you know, Costa, you set me off here, which I like. You're a good fuse to my firecracker. How many years can I think of the Rangers rebuilding? I don't remember a time. 1978, 79 maybe? Late the team was young on defense. Average age 23 when they went to the Cup. The Rangers don't rebuild. We're in unfamiliar territory here, and we got to bite a bullet. So, you know, it's just what we got to do. And I know it's frustrating, and I think you make a good point, too, as well. What do you think about... Captain Lunesta, or Captain Cash, as you call him.
Captain Cash.
Where do you want him to go now? What's he going to do now that he's not playing?
I want his ass bought out. I don't care. I want him out of here.
Okay, and you're down for the road trip to his pizza place so we can abuse him?
What?
You want to go to his pizza place and abuse him with me?
Does he want to go to a pizza place?
I'll freaking eat his pizza and take a dump on his floor.
Does Costa want to go to a pizza place? It's like asking Kevin Stevens if he wants to go to a whorehouse.
Ah, oh, that's a soft fella.
Hey,
I'm working blue.
But that's where it's at.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Take care.
Bye. All right, real quick before we get late in the show, I'll get to the rest of the phone calls in just a minute. March 26th, it is officially the next Blue Shirt Banner viewing party. It's all official, Eddie.
Yeah.
We will be at the Molly Wee. It's on 8th Avenue between 30th and 31st Street. Sounds like a good place. We're going to meet up there on the 26th. It's a Saturday. The Rangers play an afternoon game against the Boston Bruins. In Boston, we're going to meet. They open at 11. We're going to do a live show, I guess, from 11:30 to 12:30. I guess we'll do an hour show, and we'll be hanging out watching the game. I've heard this is one of Dancing Larry's main hangouts. So how bad could it be if Dancing Larry's there? So that's where we'll be. I hope you guys can make it. There's a Facebook.
Are you making let's give him a tease. But we won't make it. You want to give him a little tease?
No. No, No. Because I don't know if that information wants to be made public.
Oh, all right.
So we'll keep that under our hats for the time being. There may be a surprise there. We don't know yet. We'll see. And it's not a big surprise. Don't get all the fluster. All the guggles, as Barney Rubble used to say. But anyway, March 26th, we'll see you there. My plane ticket is booked. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to have a fun afternoon. We're going to have a good time and drink a lot and watch the Rangers hopefully beat the Bruins that day. Don Murdoch will be there. It's a bar. Of course he'll be there. Anyway, and also, I have other breaking Blue Shirt Banner radio news. We have another guest booked, I believe, 2 weeks from tonight. We will be joined by Mike Hume. He covers the Rangers for ESPNNewYork.com.
ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know the exact website address, but he covers all three teams, but I believe his main focus is the Rangers. He's going to join us. Pretty good guy from ESPN New York. So we'll talk to him 2 weeks from tonight, which will be my first show in the new house at the new Studio J. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll get back to the phones.
Sure.
And next up, Robbie. What's going on, Robbie?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're doing good, Robbie. Yeah. How about yourself?
Doing good. You said that guy, I forgot his name, you just said it, but 2 weeks from tonight is my birthday. So that's a good little present right there, I guess.
Oh, nice.
So will you be here on your birthday for that show, or are you going to be at Grandma Giambardo's?
I think I'll be here for that show, and then Sunday is the big day for me, because then I go to the Flyers the end of the day before, so that's a little early present for me.
Gotcha.
So,
very nice. Will you be at the viewing party?
Probably, yes.
All right, because you are one of our most in-demand people. I've had several people say, I hope Robbie's there, I really want to meet him.
That's good to know. But yesterday I went to Buddy's Sports Corner in Brandis Park where Newman used to work, and I made reservations to get to meet Brian Boyle, Derek Stefan, and Nick Vitillo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was $50. It was the same place where I met Gabrick last year, but this is three guys. This is Boyle and Nick Vitillo. I've never met him. Vitillo before my time, but, you know, I know he was at your viewing party, but he should be a good guy to meet. Big and Forrester.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Big hands. He's kind of quiet now, Nicky.
Yeah, he's very soft-spoken.
Very soft-spoken.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've seen the films of him. When you went to that the viewing party in Wauta last March, and for Enforcer, he seemed very, very nice. Well, I know he's going to be nice, but very, quiet, soft-spoken, like you said.
He's very much at peace these days.
Yeah. Colt Nor really wasn't like that. So, or Brashear,
Well,
Bugard.
Bugard coming back. We've never heard about him. Where is he?
Me no be back.
He's right here. Derek, what's your timetable?
Me no have timetable. Can't tell time.
Timetable. Wait, let me. Oh, one thing I want to say. I do hope that I'm at the.
Robbie's not getting any of this, Eddie.
I get it. You're imitating Bugard because he's crazy and he's big.
That wasn't imitating. That was him. He's right here in the studio.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say was, though, when I go to meet Stefan, I really hope that his mom is there, so I would like to meet her. Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
What are you going to do, ask her out?
No, I'd like to meet her because, she did really seem, pretty attractive.
You're going to put the charm on? He's going to charm her.
I'm still single. I'm 17, 16, so I'll be 17 by then. So.
I can see it on Facebook. Robbie Giambardo is in a relationship with Mrs. Stepan.
By the way, that reminds me, too. Paul, I forgot his name, Lincoln, he said that there was a girl behind Tortorella at the Red Wings game who had a nice rack. I didn't say it was Paul who had a status as that.
Oh, Eddie Johnstone in the chat room is not here tonight. Paul, yeah, he's always looking. He's got a wandering eye, that man.
Yeah, I guess he does.
Wandering eye.
Next week on the show, Mrs. Lineken's divorce attorney. All right, Robbie. What else?
That's pretty much it. That's
all right, buddy.
But I know, don't worry about it. Well, you know what? They're not trading Gavrik. That's a good thing. That's absurd. Gavrik is staying, so that really got me mad, too. He's staying.
All right. There you have it. This just in. Marion Gavrik traded. No. Was it Robbie that said something like, was it Robbie the one that said Dan Girardi's going to be traded or something like that? We'll never see Dan Girardi play for the Rangers again? Was that Robbie that said that?
Yeah, I don't remember that. Robbie usually doesn't make predictions like that, but may have been.
Yeah.
Just one more thing. I want to talk about Bugard again. Derek, how would you make those headaches clear up? I mean, do you have any maybe home remedies?
Oh, head hurt bad, Eddie. Head bad. We need much Advil.
I never get enough of that.
Phil Hartman used to do the Frankenstein lawyer.
Yeah. I get it against wall.
Bugard head hurt bad. All right. 718-645. Nope, that's our buddy Rocco on hold. All right, so now we go to 732-614. Who's this?
Hey, it's Callie.
Hey, Callie, how are you?
Hey, Callie, what's up?
Doing all right. Just doing homework.
All right.
Well, you got any answers for me? Got anything? Give me something.
I was just thinking about, like, Michael Delzato and all his, like, you know, all this ridiculous crap about him, you know, being traded and whatever. And, like, when I watched him against the Red Wings, I thought he played a pretty good game against the Red Wings. I thought he looked better with the, like, you know, he made quicker decisions with the puck. And if he's out of position, that doesn't bother me at all, because that's learning the position.
Mm-hmm.
That was my only thing about him.
Yeah, he did look better in that game. He's inconsistent. But apparently Tortorella thinks he's a better option than Emminger at this point, or that he's just sticking with the young guys. That's it.
I don't know if he's a better option than Emminger, but I think, like, in the long term, it's better to play him now than it is to play Emminger.
Now, do you think it's better for Delzato to be with the Rangers, or is he better served in Hartford?
I think he's better off with the Rangers. I'm not impressed with what goes on in Hartford. I think it's kind of a useless development. Like, how many?
The Rangers, when things were going well, they kept having to call guys up from Hartford that were, you know, playing well when they had to fit these guys in, you know, guys like Lobster Newberry and who else did they called up? Weiss, he played okay.
Well, I don't know. Right, Newberry. If the Rangers do make it to the playoffs, I think it'd be better experience for Delzato to, like, you know, be a part of that team that brings them to the playoffs than for him to be in Hartford. You know, I think it'd be better for his development.
I think so too. And listen, their problem is not giving up goals. Their problem is scoring goals. And, you know, if they wanted to learn how to play defense first, that's fine. But I just wonder, after the good season he had last year offensively, and that he just can't put that together even. And I don't know if it's just, you know, conflicting things he's hearing. He can't let it all hang out because he's got to try to please the coach. But to me, him and Emminger are a wash as far as I'm concerned. So I'd rather see go with the young guy and let him get NHL experience.
Yeah, that's what I agree with. And I also want to talk, like with Marion Gaborik about, like, his unproductive season. I mean, I wouldn't even mind if he scored in just 9 games, but if you're going to score in just 9 games, there'd be some pretty big goals that you're scoring in those games. Not four goals in a 7-0 blowout and three goals in an 8-2 blowout. I think that's what's been bothering me the most about him, is when you need him to score, he doesn't.
That's true. I mean, you need clutch goals. You need goals. You just can't get a bunch of goals in a meaningless game. I mean, it's true.
How many goals do you have this year? 15? 16?
Mm-hmm.
And I think like 11 of them have been against teams like the Maple Leafs, the Oilers, and the Islanders. Those aren't really great teams to be scoring against.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but
I can't discount all of last year and what he did last year when he basically carried the whole team on his back.
And stayed healthy when nobody said he would.
No, right. I think he's still a great player. I think he's having a slump, obviously, but it's just bothering that when we need him to come through with a big goal, he's only done it like maybe only four times this year, like he did against Washington, and he had that big hat trick against the Islanders. I mean, that was a pretty good hat trick to have. When you win, like, I think they won game 6-5, 6-4, can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter, that's why I'm so anti whatever these lunatics that want to trade him, because I think he'll eventually get out of the slump. You know, I mean, let's hopefully it's this year. And I think it's so much more than Gavrik. I mean, yes, we can count on Gavrik last year. We can count him on for a goal and here and there and every other game. And, this year, you see, the last three games, nobody's really been scoring. I mean, they, especially with the new infusion, they don't get many goals from the point. That's another thing. I don't know. I still can't figure it out yet. I just still can't figure it out, Callie. Since you're Callie's namesake, how do you think Ryan Callahan's played so far?
I think he'll max out at 25 goals. I don't think he'll have, but if he does, it'll be like one, maybe two seasons. But I mean, he does all the little things, so that's more important than me. We know what we get out of him. We're not expecting 30, 35 goals out of him. So what you're expecting when he plays.
All right. So how do you think he's looked so far since he's come back?
I mean, he scored that. I mean, the goal. What game did he score? He scored against the Devils, and he scored against, I can't remember who the other team they played. But I mean, he's still doing all the little things that matters. And he had that, I forget what game it was, but he had a big block shot, like one that only he would really make. He just went like from one side all the way through the other and blocked it. So I thought he looked pretty good.
I think that was in the Pittsburgh game, and I like seeing that in his first game back. He wasn't gun shy about going down to the ice and blocking a shot.
Yeah.
You know, that was good to see. He went right down, blocked the shot, made a great play. He had 7 hits in that game, too, against Pittsburgh.
And he had, like, our last power play goal against the Penguins, the deflection goal in front.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, Eddie, if he hadn't gotten hurt this year, he'd be on pace for right around 25 goals.
All right.
He's got 12 goals how many games here? I'm looking at his numbers. 12 goals, 13 assists in 36 games. So he'd be right there.
Right. Yeah. I just thought, we've beaten this to death. Just looking at his AHL number, his junior, was it junior number? Was he by juniors? I can't remember. He did get a lot of goals. And it just didn't transform it doesn't look like it's going to be that way. But like Callie said, he gives you all the intangibles you could need. He does everything. And again, if the Rangers just can find some of these scores, and I really think Kreider is going to step up next year. Center Iceman, speedy, big, and I know they're going to try to get him signed a la what they did with Stepan. This year, they're going to try to get him to turn pro, if he's eligible. I'm not even sure about all these little things, but that's all I got to say about that.
All right, Callie, you're going to try and squeeze some other calls in before the end of the show, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, take it easy, buddy. All right, let's see who's up next. Newman.
Hey guys.
What's going on?
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good, good, good. Miss Katz says hello, by the way.
Hello, Miss Katz.
Hello, Miss Katz.
Meow, Miss Katz.
Thank you, Eddie. Eddie, how's your father doing on a serious note?
Doing very well, getting better day by day. I'm in strength and conditioning coach, and despite that, he's still getting better.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you for asking, John.
You're very welcome. We are concerned people out in New Jersey. And by the way, I have a concern for the PowerPoint. I have a solution for it.
What is that?
Can we put Cross in front of the net, please?
Cross?
His big mouth will pick up all the pucks.
Prost?
Prost?
No, Costa.
Oh, Costa.
Put Costa in front of the net. He'll pick up all the rebounds.
Okay.
He'll think they're jelly donuts.
Oh, come on
now.
Oh. Larger and he's in charge, just like me.
That's right. Fat's where it's at. You heard him. He hung up. I guess that was it. I guess that was Newman's way of going out on a high note, I suppose. All right.
He
yelled. Where is it? Where? Or if you prefer. Where is it? There it is. Oh, Newman. I don't know about that man. But he promotes the show. What else could I... we love him for that.
He's
a big proponent of this broadcast. Of course, if we stopped putting him on the air, that would probably stop immediately.
Yes. Jay's right. Newman is fine until he tries to be funny. All
right. Zach, all right. Welcome to the program.
About time. I'm the one with real news.
What's that?
I know. Zach, I saw this.
Well, you already saw this, and Jim already saw this, but for those who are in the chat room that aren't friends with me on Facebook, last night at the NHL store, I met Ruslan Fedotenko.
The Russian China doll.
Yeah.
Did he have rosy cheeks?
I shook his hand, and he's going to be out for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Because you shook his hand?
Yeah. No, seriously, I went to shake his hand. After I got a picture of him, I went to shake his hand. And he was really hesitant to put it out. He says, this is my bad hand, the one that I broke. I was like, okay, it was just like a really small, weak handshake, and that was it.
Let's give him a kiss.
And Robbie, you don't pay attention. A couple weeks ago, Derek Boogard was at the store, and I spoke to him. And like what Jim said, they have no idea when he'll be back.
I'm sorry. We both were cutting off Eddie. Eddie, go ahead.
I got a little upset there. Not, did you check his appendectomy score while you were...
I did not check him, but he's walking fine. He's smiling.
Did you
he
check his
wait
prostate?
To get back. What?
Did you check his prostate?
No, I did not.
Oh, all right.
No, I did try to sell him stuff. He wanted to buy... shoes, but we didn't have the one with the Rangers on it, so he was kind of upset.
What is it with all these people that all these hockey players that come into that store to buy
stuff?
They get
a discount.
Don't they get that stuff for free?
No.
They get a discount.
Well, certain stuff they might get for free, but if you had a kill store, we'd give them a discount.
What's the discount for an NHL player at the NHL store?
Probably like 20% to 30%.
What? That's it?
Well, I make more. I get a bigger percentage.
What's your discount?
50% off on the first Thursday of the month, I get a 60% discount.
The first Thursday of the month? What is that, like Senior's Day at Bradley's?
Yeah, exactly.
I used to have to go take my grandmother to Bradley's on Senior's Day. I get 15%, Jimmy. 15%! For God! Running around with her and the blue hairs.
Listen, Jim, while you guys are officially having your viewing party, I
take
am unofficially
Bradley's
having
we'll
a pregame
have a nice
show.
Lunch.
What?
I'm sorry. Take me to Bradley's and we'll go have a nice lunch.
Oh,
anyway.
Well, I started you guys. So while you're officially having your viewing party in the city, I'm going to unofficially have a semi-drinking party, so pre-gaming, in Boston at one of the bars before the game. And I know a lot of Ranger fans are going, so I'm gonna create the event. I'm going to post the link in the Rangers viewing party event. I hope you won't mind.
No, that's fine. I saw there were a lot of people that Eva invited to the viewing party in the city that said, no, I can't make it. I'll be at the game. So it's going to be quite a contingent, sounds like. We'll be well represented.
I will definitely miss your party. And now that I found out that Robbie will most likely be there, I am really going to miss this party.
It's
Robbie is going to do his... Don't get him too drunk. He still has to drive home to Jersey.
So, Zach, I've been looking for consolation all night. What's going to happen with the Rangers? I need something, a voice of reason, since DB Maven's not here, to get me through the next two or three games. Is it going to get better?
Yeah, it's really tough to say. I want to say yes, because we had this big break, and we're playing Atlanta. In Atlanta, but they're a decent team this season. We can't take it for granted anymore. So the Rangers need to take this time to get their minds back on track. I feel like they just, you know, actually I don't know what to think because they had a great game in Detroit, despite the poor announcing by Doc Emrick and despite the power play, which has always been a struggle. The Rangers played a very good game. Am I the only one that saw that? At the first period, I thought there was a playoff game. The pace was, like what Joe said, great pace of this game, Sam.
This game's got a good pace to it, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, tremendous pace.
But at the same time, it's really tough to say because we're playing in Atlanta on Friday. We're hosting the Penguins on Sunday. And then we don't have another game until, Wednesday against the Kings. So these are, believe it or not, three really big games, especially with a five-game losing streak. The Rangers really need to work on their power play. I don't know if I was paying attention to this, but I think they were shooting the puck a little more often. Am I right on that? They were shooting the puck a bit more often during the power play? They were definitely shooting the puck when at even strength.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of shots on net. But, you know, as we heard from our reporter who was on the scene, Rock, who was actually at the game in Detroit, he counted a lot of them with just, you know, kind of just like cheapy shots from long distance, weren't anything major. I thought they played well.
Tortorella's always encouraging his team to shoot the puck no matter where you are, no matter what angle you're at. Just shoot the puck because you never know what kind of a bounce you'll get. You know, the players are rushing towards the net, hopefully crash in the net. Avery did that several times during the game, and, you know, they created a lot of opportunities. I'm really upset Avery didn't score on that breakaway opportunity.
Yeah. That was one of those games
where we should have won. Detroit got really lucky.
You know, they played well, when they had to, Detroit, you know, and they got the Rangers all mixed up. Again, the first period, that has to they got to rectify it. The Rangers got to score in the first period. They cannot sit and play the waiting game, give up a goal, and then try to come back. That's not the way to play hockey.
Perfectly understandable, but you watch the game, the first period, there was a lot of speed. They were shooting the puck. They kept beating Detroit to all the plays, but Howard stood on his head and kept the team in it. I think that was just one of those where we just had, like, bad luck with that. Because other than that, for a game like that, we usually score, and we rarely see it.
Well, that's true. With Howard, he looked a little shaky, and I just never got that quality shot that you want. He's giving him some big-ass rebounds in that game, too.
Yeah.
You're right. I think they played well enough to win in the Detroit game. Let's face it, if it wasn't for that cheap Scott Gomez goal, they probably would have went into overtime or what have you.
in the Montreal game. In the Devils game, they hit a post with, you know, and they got down 3-0 early.
The game against the Devils, we sucked. But the game against Montreal, we were tight. And the game against Detroit, we were on fire.
I don't agree. You got Lundqvist gives up 3 goals on 12 shots. They only got 6 shots. They only got 6 shots the rest of the game on Biron. But to say suck.
Yeah, I told you the Rangers sucked against the Devils, but we were tight in Montreal and we were tight in Detroit.
Okay.
All right. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody. Zach.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I just wanted to say goodnight.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But the game against Montreal and the game against Detroit, we played really tight, and the Devils, we just simply sucked. You know, Lundqvist looked really bad, and I think that's the reason why Tortorella decided to bench him against Detroit. I was really surprised about that, but that's probably his reasoning. But I definitely expect Lundqvist to bounce back against Atlanta.
Well, yeah, and I think Atlanta, you said, was playing. They've kind of slumped a little bit, so they should be ripe for the picking. You know,
their defense is still tight.
It's pretty tight. You know, Buffalo had got a goal the other night, but he's been struggling scoring-wise. But, you know, you're right. But, you know, last game went into a shootout where Zuccarello got the shootout goal, so you're right. It's not going to be an easy game, I hope they can get the whole thing straightened up, because I tell you, Zach, these people on Facebook are killing me with these things. Fire Tortorella.
He's not getting fired. Get out of here.
We talked about a coach of the year a couple of weeks ago. Now they want him fired. Get out of here.
Tortorella coach of the year? No way.
Why not?
Who's done a better job?
You have to understand, they look at it based on the record of the team, not like how much improved they are.
What's wrong with their record?
The Rangers? Are we at like 500? Are we like a couple of games above 500 right now?
They're six games over 500?
Well, we lost the last 5. I thought we were about even now.
Hold on.
Well, we have a great record on the road, but at home we're not that great this season, or am I thinking of last season?
I don't look at the standings when we're losing. It depresses me.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the standings in a while. But, yeah, I mean, the Rangers, the last 2 games, have been playing decent. They just need to get more
Rangers
out of that.
Six
they need
games
to wake
over.
Up on the power play.
Yeah, 6 games over 500. With what he's had to work with most of the season, I don't know how you could say he's not a leading candidate for coach of the year.
Average age of defenseman 25.
Yeah, we have the youngest defenseman. We have the youngest core.
So, I think a lot of serious people were talking about him possibly being a candidate. I couldn't say like you did. Definitely, it wouldn't be. But I know what you're saying. They're more apt to go with a team that's finished 25 games over 500 than 6 or 7. But you never know. I heard during the Versus broadcast, them talking up the Rangers, and the Rangers are going the right way instead of the wrong way.
Or the white way.
I can't listen to the Versus analysts and announcers anymore. Whether they're right or wrong, I can't listen to them.
Well, haven't they fired Beninati? Is he gonzo?
Yeah.
Why did they fire him?
Well, Comcast owned Versus.
Yeah.
And then Comcast just bought NBC. So when they bought NBC, you know, they got everybody that worked for NBC. So, you know, it just made sense to move some of the NBC people, shuffle them around, and they got rid of Beninati. And he sucks. He's terrible.
Is he still calling calf games, or he's just...
Yeah.
All right, so he's not doing that.
Where he belongs.
Right, where he belongs. I should never have to hear him again.
I actually prefer him over Doc Emmerich. I can understand why you hate him.
No, I'll take Doc Emmerich over him any day.
Dude, I can't
stand
Doc Emmerich.
It seems to be a bone of contention. It's either the one or the other. I don't mind either which I guess I'm in the minority. I don't like them especially, but I don't hate them.
No, I can't stand Doc Emmerich. I like Eddie Olczyk. His analysis is pretty good.
Slow him.
Yeah.
What?
Eddie says blow you up. Sorry. We'll talk to you next week, Zach.
Wait, real quick, before you guys go. Alman Toy to the Islanders?
Yes, sir.
Really?
For a 6th-round pick.
And Hugh Jessamine.
And Hugh Jessamine to the Panthers.
We're not kidding. He went to the Panthers.
What is this league come to?
He's going to go work with Chris Higgins, revive his career.
What does this come to?
All right, Zach.
We'll talk to you later, Zach.
And this is the one-year anniversary that I first called in.
Whoopee!
All right!
So people
All right, Zach.
We'll have cake later. All right, you guys have a good night.
All right.
Great talking to you.
Later.
Bye.
All right.
Well, Jim, we've come to the end of another broadcast.
Yes, sir. Did you tell Cutter we were doing a show tomorrow night?
I said it yesterday, but then I took it back when I found out there was no game.
Oh, well, they're playing on Friday. No, they're playing on Friday.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Because
Cutter
said, you guys are doing a show tomorrow night. Can I be the first caller? I'm like, him and this little tournament he runs on his video games, he drives me up a fucking wall with it. Love him to death, but he's a tad annoying sometimes.
I don't know. If anything pertinent happens tomorrow, maybe we'll do a show. But right now, I'm not looking forward to it.
Not looking forward to it?
Not looking forward to it. So we covered a lot of ground tonight. I'm emotionally drained.
All right, so if there's anything pertinent, we can throw one together. If not,
unless, you know, you're in the mood, I'm in the mood, and we do that thing, you know?
All right, sounds good.
All right, take care, man.
All right, you too. Talk to you later. Thanks, Bandar.
Take care.
Good night.
Take care. Take care, Mike.
Bye-bye.